Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming to join us. Today we'll be discussing the halachas of Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is a very special mitzvah. We actually find that Avraham Avinu, when the Gemara says that he fulfilled all the mitzvahs in the Torah, he actually fulfilled also Erev Tavshilin as well. So this goes way back. And it's a pretty obscure mitzvah. Not many people understand it, understand the mechanism, understand why it's important, understand how it works, the exact procedure. So we're going to do our best to explain exactly how this mitzvah works so that we can fully understand and appreciate the mitzvah when it comes. Actually, this year, we have the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin three times. It's going to be before Rosh Hashanah, before Sukkot, and before Shemini Atzeres. So if we're going to be doing three times, we definitely should understand how it works and the exact procedure, how it's done. Let's start off by saying that Yom Tov is similar to Shabbos, but it's different than Shabbos. Just like on Shabbos there are 39 malachos that we cannot do on Shabbos, so too on Yom Tov there's also 39 malachos which cannot be done. However, there's one big exception, and that is the malacha of Bishul. That even on Shabbos it is prohibited to cook food on Shabbos. However, on Yom Tov there is an exception to cook food for Yom Tov, and that's how the pasuk says, "Ach asher ye'achal chol nefesh." Anything which is necessary for human consumption, hu levad ye'achal lachem, that can be done on Yom Tov. One is allowed to cook on Yom Tov food for Yom Tov. However, it's important to realize that this exemption that one is allowed to cook on Yom Tov has a very limited application. For example, one cannot cook food on Yom Tov for his animals. He cannot, another halacha is he cannot cook for a guy. Another example is that he cannot cook on Yom Tov for a different day. He cannot cook on Yom Tov for a weekday, for Shabbos. He's not allowed to cook. He's only allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov itself. And for any other purpose other than personal enjoyment, on Yom Tov, one cannot cook. So, in order to understand how Erev Tavshilin allows one to cook on Friday for Shabbos, we have very serious questions to deal with. The first question is, Erev Tavshilin is obviously rabbinical in nature. It was a rabbinic institution that allowed one to cook, prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. How is that going to allow one to cook Nidai Raisa? You know, we just explained that one cannot cook on Yom Tov for a different day, even for Shabbos, Nidai Raisa. How is Erev Tavshilin going to allow one to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, Nidai Raisa? So, the Gemara actually discusses this, the Gemara in Be'ah. The Gemara in Be'ah says there are two understandings why one is allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos and is not going to be over any Surah Midaraisa. And there's a big difference between the two. Rava, he says, that this is a very important idea that will explain how come one is allowed to prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos. And that is the Svar of Hoyel Umikli Archi. That since it's always possible that the food one is preparing, one will be able to serve to guests. Let's say suddenly guests show up and they don't have any food, so one will be able to give them the food to eat on Yom Tov. So therefore it's considered as if he's preparing for Yom Tov. He's not preparing for Shabbos, he's preparing for Yom Tov. Because the guests might show up, they're not going to have any food to eat, and he'll be able to give them food. So therefore Rabbi says there's no problem in Daraisa to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, because it is considered as if he's preparing for that day itself. However, Rabbanan said that's not such a good idea. Because, and numerous explanations are given, one of them is that the mechanism of Hoyel is that it has to be ready for guests to eat. Let's say you're going to cook so late in the afternoon that the food will not be prepared for Shabbos. So you can't say that, look, I'm cooking for guests, because it's not ready for guests. Because the food won't be ready
for Friday.
Won't be ready until Shabbos starts. So therefore Chazal said, so you know, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to prepare food on Friday for Shabbos. But again, that's only rabbinical in nature. We downgraded it from Daraisa, from biblical to rabbinical, because there is a svara, there's an idea that you're really preparing for guests, but we're concerned that you might not cook early enough in the day that the food should be ready. Now Chista, he says a different explanation. He says, you know why there's no problem of cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos mi Daraisa? Because the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yom Tov are really the same Kedusha. It's the same type of holiness. And therefore, you're allowed to prepare on Shabbos, on Yom Tov for Shabbos. To prepare on Yom Tov for a weekday, that's not allowed. To prepare, because that's a different type of, this is Kedusha, that's called. To prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos is allowed because it's the same type of Kedusha. However, Chazal came along and they said that even though midaraisa it is permitted to prepare on Yantar Shabbos, but one should not do so because if he does, he might come to prepare for a weekday as well. And that is for sure a problem. And therefore they said he shouldn't do it. So how do we combat these problems? We just downgraded it from a deraisa to Rabbanan. There's no problem with deraisa, but it is a rabbinical prohibition. So what's the trick? The trick is Erev Tavshil. Chazal said, if one prepares an Erev Tavshilin on before Yom Tov starts, then he is allowed to prepare Yom Tov for Shabbos, and there's no problem, be it rabbinical, be it midrash, so there's no problem at all. But how does it work? How does Erev Tavshilin work? So the Ramah says, the way it works is like this. If one starts preparing for Shabbos before Yom Tov starts, then any action of cooking that he does on Yom Tov for Shabbos can be considered that it's a continuation of the cooking. You're not starting to cook, you're continuing to cook. If you're only continuing to cook, then Chazal said, we're not so concerned you might do a brand new act of bishul for weekday. We're not concerned that you're just going to do a bishul for no reason. Right. And therefore Chazal said, if you start preparing on Erev Yom Tov, then you can continue on Friday to prepare for Shabbos. That is how Erev Tavshilin works. So there could have, theoretically, there was an issue of cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos midaraisa. Rava says there's no problem because you might guests might show up and therefore it's considered as if you're cooking for Yom Tov. And Rav Chisda said no, there's no problem because it's the same type of kedusha. It was a rabbinical problem, but you can get around it with preparing an Erev Tavshilin that you started cooking an Erev Yom Tov for and you continue on Friday for Shabbos. Okay, so now there's a very important nafkamina. There's a very important ramification that comes out of this machlokes, and that is, as we mentioned earlier. Is there any need, is it necessary that the food should be ready on Yom Tov before Shabbos starts? Or I could start preparing on Shabbos on Friday and I'll continue to cook on Shabbos. For example, we know that it takes a lot of time to cook your challah. It could take 12 hours for the challah to get cooked. So, am I allowed to put up the challah right before Shabbos starts and rely on my Erev Tavshilin? Or no? You have to make sure that the challah is cooked on Friday even before Shabbos comes in. And that would depend on the reason he stated before. According to Rava, the reason there's no problem with deraisa to cook on Friday for Shabbos is because guests might show up and you need food to serve them. So that means I needed the food for today, not for tomorrow. I'm not preparing for Shabbos, I'm preparing for today. But if that's the reasoning, then the food has to be ready before Shabbos comes in. You have to make sure that you put up your challenge early enough in the day so that it'll be ready if guests happen to show up. As opposed to the other explanation, according to Rav Chisda, who says that you're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos because it's the same type of Kedusha, Yom Tov and Shabbos as one Kedusha, you don't have to make sure that it's ready before Shabbos starts. As long as you're starting the cooking on Friday, it can be finished on Shabbos. So therefore you would be allowed to put up your challenge right before Shabbos, even though it won't be ready to be consumed on Friday. So there's a tremendous nafkamina between this machlekes. So how do we pass it? How do we pass it? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha both speak out that almost all of the Rishonim, they paskin like Rabbah, the reason it's mutter is because guests might show up. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that lecha tchila, one has to be very careful to make sure that the food is edible before Shabbos comes in. Okay, that's lecha tchila. What about b'di'evet? What about if a person wasn't able to put up his food early in the morning? Rosh Hashanah, we have a long davening. The person wasn't able to put up his food on Friday early enough that it should be ready. So the Bir Halacha says that there are some Rishonim who say that the Halacha is like a chista, that one is allowed to prepare Yom Tov for Shabbos midaraisa, and therefore there is no need to make sure the food is fully cooked. And therefore he says, La'es HaTzayrach, if someone wasn't able to put up the food early enough, then he's allowed to put up the food right before Shabbos comes and rely on his Erev Tavshilin, even though it will not be ready to be consumed before Shabbos starts. So therefore again, lechatchila, a person should do his best to make sure that the food is cooked before Shabbos comes in. But b'di'evet, if he wasn't able to, then he's allowed to cook, then he's allowed to do the preparation on Friday, even though it will not be cooked before Shabbos starts. How much does it have to be cooked, lechatchila? Does it have to be fully cooked? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, it does not have to be fully cooked. As long as it's a third cooked, which we call a Meichel Ben Jisoi, that it will be edible to someone on the run, he'll be able to eat it. Therefore, that's considered enough ready. Now, a third of the cooked means that how much time would be necessary to get this item fully cooked. A third of that time is enough to be cooked before Shabbos. If a challah would take 12 hours to be fully cooked, then it's enough that it should be 4 hours. Start cooking on Erev Shabbos that to suffice to fulfill this din l'chatzchila, that the food should be ready on Erev Yom Tov. Okay, that's the first topic we spoke about. How does Erev Tavshilin work? And the important ramification of does have food have to be cooked before Shabbos. Now we're going to get into the more practical applications. What is the exact procedure of Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin consists of two items. It consists of a cooked item, and it consists of a baked item. The cooked item is to allow you to cook on Friday for Shabbos. The baked item is allowing you to bake. So there are different. There the chatzchila. Let's discuss one at a time. Let's first talk about the bread. Let's talk about the bread. Many places can hold that the main part, the main component of Erev Tavshilin is the cooked item. Once you do a cooked item, which is the main type of cooking, main type of preparation that's done on Yom Tov for Shabbos, that is enough to allow one even to cook. That allows one to light candles. The main component of Erev Tavshilin is the cooked item. The baked item is really unnecessary. Since some Paiskim argue and say that no, you have to have a baked item as well. So lechatchila, we take a baked item. But there's very important differences between the two. We're going to speak out in a minute. The bread should lechatchila be a whole piece of bread. And that's hiddur mitzvah. Every time we do a mitzvah, we try to do it beautifully. Lechatchila, one should take a whole piece of bread. And the custom has developed over time to use a piece of matzah. One takes a whole matzah, that should be the bread component. Lechatchila, it's better to take a piece of bread the size of a kebeah, the size of an egg. B'diavad, if he takes the size of a kezayis, the size of an olive, that's enough. If one takes a matzah, one is certainly fulfilled his opinion, and therefore lechatchila, one can take a whole matzah as for the bread component of the Erev Tavshilin. What about the cooked item? So the place can say that here it should be a kezayis. There's no din of lechatchila to have a kebeah, it's enough to have a kezayis. However, one has to be careful to take a cooked item that is generally eaten in a bread meal. For example, that could be meat, that could be fish, that could be eggs. It's interesting that the custom developed over time to use an egg for the Erev Tavshilin. And a very nice explanation for this is as follows, that we're going to see soon, that there's a very important halacha that the food of the Erev Tavshilin and the bread has to remain intact until the preparations for Shabbos are done. And the reasoning is very simple. We said earlier that Erev Tavshilin works because I started preparing on Erev Shabbos and I'll continue that preparation on Friday for Shabbos. If the Erev Tavshilin is gone, then you can't say that what I'm doing now is a continuation of that preparation which I started Erev Yom Tov, because that's gone. And therefore one has to be very, very certain that the food remains edible until the preparations are done. Egg is a cooked egg, a hard-boiled egg is an example of something which can remain edible and not spoil over time, and therefore the custom is developed to take an egg. However, one has to be careful not to peel the egg, because many opinions hold that an egg, hard-boiled egg, which is peeled, should not be eaten if it goes overnight without a shell. And therefore, one has to be careful that it's not peeled. If it does get peeled, then some place can advise one to mix it into some food. For example, some mayonnaise, make a little dish out of it, and therefore there's no problem, there's no sakana in that involved. So therefore, once you again, the minute is to use an egg, a whole egg, hard-boiled egg, but one should be careful not to peel it until he's ready to eat it on Shabbos.
Use them behind
them? Okay. So one should take the bread, the matzah, and should take the egg, and he should set up the Erev on Erev Yom Tov. He shouldn't do it earlier. You know, even though one might be concerned that maybe he'll forget, and therefore he'll do it early in the week. Do you take it on Sunday? No, lechatchila, one should definitely take it on Erev Yom Tov, which this year is going to fall out. On a Wednesday, you should take it on Erev Yom Tov. If he did it earlier, then he should do it again on Erev Yom Tov without a bracha. If he forgets, then it's good enough the fact that he did it earlier. But lechatchila one does on Erev Yom Tov. You can do it any time in Erev Yom Tov before a Shkia. Let's say one forgot to take the bread. He only did a cooked egg. He forgot to use the bread. He forgot to use the matzah. So since we said earlier that the main component of the Erev is the egg, is the cooked item, so therefore b'diavad, he's fine. The Erev is good. However, lechatchila, one should try to just say, to pick it up again and do the Erev again without saying a bracha, because we want to try to fulfill all the opinions. But for Diaved, the Erev is good. If one forgot to take the cooked item, however, and only took the matzah, then it's no good at all. You didn't do the Erev. And if we got to do the bracha, the Erev again with a bracha. So what does one do? One takes the matzah, one takes the egg, holds it in his hand, and he recites the bracha, which is found in Moshe Durim. Bracha to Hashem, lekinu achalam, shekinu shalom, esesav, etzivano, al mitzvah Erev. And then he says a special declaration, which is found in the Siddurim as well, which starts off Bahadein Eruva, which is a declaration in Aramaic, which states that with this Erev, I should be permitted to continue my preparations on Shabbos. I should be able to cook, I should be able to bake, I should be able to do Hatzmana, to insulate.
On Friday
for Shabbos, and I should be able to light candles. It's very important that one understands the declaration. So much so that the place can recommend one saying it in English if he doesn't understand the Aramaic, so that he understands, because this is the main component of the Erev, is the declaration, and therefore he must make sure to understand it. After one separates the Erev, he says the bracha and he says the declaration, he should put it in a safe location so that they remain intact and not spoil until Friday, until Shabbos comes. Let's say one forgets to set up the Erev, and he's so busy in Erev Yom Tov that he forgot to do it. So, if it's before Tzeis HaKechavim, before the three stars come out, then he could still set up the Erev. He can run home, he could set up the Erev, even though Yom Tov, even though it's Pashkia, but if it's before Tzeis HaKechavim, he could still set up the Erev. If he didn't remember until after Tzeis HaKechavim, now it's Yom Tov proper, so then he is pretty stuck, because he didn't set up the Erev Tavshilin. How will he be able to prepare on Friday for Shabbos? So there is an opportunity, there is an option of setting up an Erev with a Tanai, with a condition. You know, as one could say, on the first day of Yom Tov, he takes the Tanai, he takes the bread, and he takes the matzah, let's say, the matzah and the egg, and he says, if today is Yom Tov, and so let's preface that we know that we keep 2 days of Yom Tov is not midiraisim. The fact that we keep 2 days of Yom Tov is really a suffix. It's because we're unsure which is the real day of Yom Tov. So therefore, one can get up on the first day of Yom Tov and say like this: if today is Yom Tov and tomorrow is not Yom Tov, so then I don't need an Erev Tavshilin at all, because I'm going to prepare on Friday, which is really a weekday for Shabbos.
Like an Erev Tisrael from Sukkot.
Exactly. And Erev Tisrael, you only keep 1 day Yom Tov. If today is the weekday and tomorrow is the real day of Yom Tov, then I want this to be my Erev Tavshilin. Most places people hold Yom Tov a bracha, because you're not sure. And therefore, there is an option of setting up, if one forgot to do it on the Erev Yom Tov on Wednesday, he could set it up on Thursday with this Tanai, with this condition. However, very important, one cannot do this condition on Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Big difference between Rosh Hashanah and other Yom Tov. And it's very clear, because in Eretz Yisrael, where they only keep 1 day Yom Tov, they still keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It's a big difference between the two. And the Gemara explains that everyone kept Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara explains why, I don't want to get into it. And therefore, it's not a suffix. It's not in doubt. Rosh Hashanah are really 2 days of Yom Tov. And therefore, one cannot say this condition.
Long
day. One long day. And therefore, we cannot say this condition on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. If today is Yom Tov and tomorrow is not, you can't say that, because tomorrow is really Yom Tov. And therefore, this option of tonight does not help Rosh Hashanah. The condition only helps for other Yom Tov, like Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres and Pesach and the like. So what does one do? It's Rosh Hashanah now. He forgot to set up his Erev Tavshilin. So there's one more way they can save him, and that is that it is possible that he might be able to rely on the Erev Tavshilin of the Rav, the Gadol Shavir, the Rav in town. He sets up an Erev Tavshilin for everyone in town. And therefore, if one forgot to do the Erev Tavshilin, he could possibly rely on the Rav. One should definitely speak to the Rav, because not everyone qualifies to rely on the Rav. If one decided that he's not going to do the Erev Tavshilin and he's going to rely on the Rav, it doesn't work. It only works if one forgot. So if one definitely should speak to his Rav to see if that is an option. So again, when the Erev Tavshilin is l'chatchila done in Erev Yom Tov, not earlier. If one forgot to do the Erev Tavshilin before Yom Tov sets in, if you remember it's before Tzeis HaKechavim, you can do it before Tzeis HaKechavim. You can do it right then. If one only remembers after Tzeis HaKechavim, there's an option of Tanai, which only works on the other Yom Tov and not on Rosh Hashanah. If one doesn't have that option, he could speak to his Rav. It is possible that the Erev Tavshilin, the Rav set up, might work for everyone. Okay. Now, let's move on. The person was great. He set up his Erev Tavshilin on Friday, and now it's coming Erev Yontif. Friday. Now one wants to prepare for Shabbos. Can one start his preparations on Thursday for Shabbos? So halacha is he can't. The Erev Tavshilin only helps preparations for Friday for Shabbos. He cannot start the preparations early. It starts on Friday. The Erev, as we said before,
that's the question with Gabi Rosh Hashanah now.
Why?
To work the other way. Can be so mech on Yom HaRich to say it's all one day, and therefore Thursday is Friday, and therefore I can really count on Thursday and start my preparations on Thursday, because after all, I have a long day of davening on Friday and Thursday. I need to start on Thursday.
Interesting thought. Well, I think the place is still saying that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you got to start on Friday.
Against you, not for you.
Maybe they'll do davening a little quicker, then you get more time to prepare. Okay.
Well, that's what they say. They try and make it fair.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. We mentioned earlier that the Erev has to stay intact and edible until the preparations are done. So let's say like this. He comes Friday, and he's about to start his preparation, and he sees that the matzah was eaten, or is gone. A mouse ate it up. So can one still cook and prepare? So the answer is that yes, he can, because as we said earlier, the main component of the Erev is the cooked item, not the baked item. We just separate the baked item, l'chatchila. So therefore, if it's gone, if it's filed away, if it disappears on Yontif, it's fine. You can still prepare for Shabbos. However, if the cooked item disappears, or it's gone, it's not edible anymore, and you want to start preparing, then it doesn't work. The Erev is disqualified. Because again, one has to make sure that the Erev is intact if he wants to continue his preparations for Shabbos. So one has to make sure that the cooked item at least is still around. However, if one is in the middle of preparing something and he looks up and sees that someone's eating the egg, you can finish what you're in the middle of preparing. You cannot do any other items, you can finish what you're in the middle of
preparing. Stop eating the egg.
Yeah, exactly. What does one say? Okay, now it's fine, everything is done, all the cooking is done, it's now Shabbos. What does one do with the egg and the matzah? So Chazal tells us that an item that is used for one mitzvah should be continued to use for a different mitzvah. And therefore, the minig is to use this matzah for Lacha Mishnah on Shabbos. You can use it for the first to see this and then eat it by Shal Shittis. The cooked item also, many people have a minig to eat the egg by Shal Shittis as well, because you want to continue to do a mitzvah with those mitzvah items. Let's just discuss.
So I understand. I mean, okay, that's, you know, for me, but why more Shabbos Shittis than the other two?
Because you want to do as many mitzvahs as possible. So you keep the matzah, you do the first two, the second two, and third, you just got 3 mitzvahs out of it.
Oh, you mean, yeah. I usually use it for Shabbos Shittis, but you're saying that you really, those people use it for all
three? Yeah, that's it. It's a good idea. You know,
For some reason, I always just primarily. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. We'll just discuss one more topic, and that is, what if a family moves into someone else's house for Yontif? They move into the parents, they move into the in-laws, the young couple moves in, do they have to make their own Erev Tavshilin or not? So we'll start off by saying that everyone has to make sure to do an Erev Tavshilin. Men, a woman, everyone has to do an Erev Tavshilin. The man in the household can make an Erev Tavshilin for everyone. You only need one per household, because since everyone in the family is reliant on the Baal HaBayis, on the master of the household, therefore only one Erev Tavshilin is necessary. If there's no man, the woman can do it. She likes the Erev Tavshilin. Well, what if this young couple moves in? They're out of the house the whole year, and now they move in for these 3 days. Are they part of the household or not? So it seems to me there's different opinions over here, because if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says a very interesting topic is, what if there's a maidservant who lives in the house? A girl lives in the house and she helps the family prepare. Does she need her own Erev Tavshilin? And the Mishnah Berurah is mistopic. He's not sure. He says perhaps she might need her own Erev Tavshilin. Or the Baal Bayis has to clearly have her in mind to give her, let her pick up the egg and get a part of it. So it might follow that just like the servant is not part of the family, so too the young couple that's moving into the parents' Yontif, since they're only here for 3 days, they're not really, they're wonderful, welcome guests, but they're not really part of the family. So therefore, it is possible that they might need their own Erev Tavshilin. However, many places can say that no, it's not true. Since they have free access to the kitchen, they can eat whatever they want, and therefore they are in effect part of the family, even if it's only for 3 days. So therefore, they are completely part of the family, and therefore the Baal HaBayis makes an Erev Tavshilin, works for everyone in the house.
Does
that say a Svar work for the maidservant? Apparently not. Apparently the Svar will be that she doesn't have free access. I guess it depends on the situation. So I spoke to Rabbi Zucker about this, and he said that Fi Halacha, they don't have to make their own Erev Tavshilin, but if one wants to be Machmer, it would be a good idea to go to the Baal Bayis and ask him if he could be Zaycha, if he could take part of that Erev Tavshilin, and he'll pick it up and make a kinyan on it. He'll acquire part of the Erev Tavshilin, and therefore it will work for everyone in the family, including them as well, and it'll be lachatchila.
What's interesting is there was a flip side. If the parents, the Baal Bayis, go to the children, then you're a little bit more. There's some of your children, so you say they're all, you know. But here you're coming in to your children's house, so you're really mistaken from them.
Yeah, well, I maybe the same sort of thing.
I'm still children, saying no, but I'm just saying it. In terms of a practicality, you feel that your children, even if they're married, are still part of your mishpacha.
Okay, two more halachas. Let's say the Erev Tavshilin is, we'll start with this. L'chatchila, it's a mitzvah and a mofar. If one wants to do above and beyond the halacha, then it's a good idea to prepare the food for the Erev Tavshilin specifically for Shabbos. You know, it's better if one specifically cooks up eggs on Erev Yontif on Wednesday for Shabbos and use that for the Erev Tavshilin as opposed to just rummaging through the fridge and finding something. It's a mitzvah and a mofar. It's an added mitzvah to prepare something special for Yontif. However, that only applies to the cooked item.
Yeah, because the matzah.
Because the matzah, you don't have to make your own matzah specifically for this. But, and the reasoning is, as before, that the main component of the Erev is the cooked item, not the baked item.
Well, usually that's what the case is.
Right.
The matzah, you just kick out of the box.
Exactly.
It wasn't Erev Tavshilin. I never saw Erev Tavshilin boxes.
Yeah. No, it's not. That would be a good hitter. okay, can someone use a frozen item for Erev Tavshilin? I spoke to Rabbi Zucker, and he said there's no problem with that. It's going to still be used for the Erev Tavshilin. Okay, so we should be zeichet to kind of these three Erev Tavshilins this upcoming month, and we should appreciate the understanding and do it al pi halacha, and we should all be zeichet to al sivich simitayva.